Okay, I'm going to invite everyone to return to their seats, and we're going to continue on here. Thank you. Well done. Okay, we got a number of different announcements here, so bear with me. And then we've got a cool testimony time, and then we'll see what happens after that. But just first an announcement reminder, I'm heading out on vacation for a couple of weeks. I'm leaving on Friday. We sent our boys ahead of us, so they're already in Ontario visiting grandparents. Chantel and Rosalind and myself are heading out on Friday, and we'll be gone for 3 weeks. So in the meantime, I am leaving you in very capable hands. Jeff Gowdy is coming to speak this coming Sunday, so I know you will, all, as always, you will enjoy your time with him. The following Sunday, our regional minister, Terry Fossen, will be coming to speak with us. And then the third Sunday, Dave Grobe from Crossroads, who also works here part-time, as well as leading Dream Center worship. He is going to be facilitating both the worship, he's going to be leading us in worship, as well as speaking on worship and on God's presence among us in worship. So I actually told him I really would like to be here for that, so I'll plan on listening to that one online afterwards. But you will be blessed by all three of the people who are coming here. I've found some just first-rate people to look after you while I am away, and you're in great hands. So I bless you in that time. If you need to be in touch, I will be in the office through some of this week. So I'm still here for a little bit, but we're heading out on Friday. This past week, I had a chance to talk to Wes Giesbrook, who is the the chair of the board here at the Dream Center, and he was sharing with me about a significant financial need that they are in right now. And having heard that, I went back to our council, and we talked as a council this Wednesday, and we decided that what we would do was try to help out our friends here at the Dream Center. We love the work that God is doing here, and so what we said is, let's hold a special offering for the Dream Center from today through July. So you are welcome to give to the Dream Center by way of giving to Unity. If you use the PushPay app, then you can simply select the special project from the drop-down menu and then give that way. If you're old school and you use offering envelopes, there's a little checkbox on there that you can say special project, or just write Dream Center on it and drop it in the offering box over there. Yes, please, take a picture of that to remind yourself. This is just a way of saying, hey, we love you guys, and we believe in the work that God is doing here. We see, and we share those testimonies of guys meeting Jesus and being touched here and finding freedom and wholeness in life. And so let's continue to support our brothers here in this time. What was the other thing I wanted to mention? Oh, that the Dream Center also, you're welcome to give to them monthly. Just go to their website and select the donate thing, and you can set up to be one of their, they call them freedom funders. I'm a freedom funder. I give to the Dream Center every single month. Chantel and I do personally, because we believe in the work that God does here. I've seen it face to face. The work that God does here has people's names on it. And I believe in it. I believe Jesus meets people here. And so I believe in that work. We give. I would really encourage you to consider that. So pray about it. If you want to become a freedom funder, you just sign up on their website. Of course, you can give directly to the Dream Center anytime. But by doing this sort of special project, Unity gets nothing. All we're doing is passing the hat in order to collect something together to say, hey, Unity Baptist loves the Dream Center. So would you consider participating in this special project? Not only because the Dream Center needs it, but because we can then show love by collecting this together and giving it to them. So please do consider that. Marco, would you come on up and offer us an update on what's been happening with Hope Mission and Unity's ongoing conversations with them?
About Hope Mission? Just wanted to give a bit of an update. We had a meeting with Hope Mission with Bruce Reith and Scott Barkley. Bruce is retired, but he's still very much wanting to see this project go to completion. And they've been meeting at the old Impact Church, just across the river by the old railway bridge, if anybody knows that area. And they've been there for about 2 years now, using that building and ministering in that, in the Fairview neighborhood, but also in all the schools around. We had a meeting there. Jamie, Everett, Ralph and Kevin were with me, and we did a tour of the building to see what's there. And it's very much like the old Unity building, but bigger. And it was renovated. Impact renovated it. Bruce and Scott shared kind of where they're at, and their lease had come up. Impact is wanting to sell that building, so Hope Mission is actually looking to purchase the building for short term. They're not planning to get rid of. They'll very much see a need in Normando, and they would like to build something there. But they want to have basically a stable base of operations for the next 5 to 10 years. They've extended the offer that Unity could use the building, and you know, council has kind of spent some time discussing it. And one of the things that came up was that when we left the building, we felt God had brought us here to Dream Center. And so we've been seeking his direction and being in kind of in step with him. And as Ben had shared a couple weeks ago, we're in a season of waiting, seeing what God's going to do. And so we want to ask the church, pray into God's direction. You know, with this opportunity, Hope Mission Plan is looking to, if they do get it, or do we continue to stay here? So we're just seeking God's direction, asking everybody to spend time and share your thoughts. There'll be opportunities over the summer that we can share. But if you have anything, please ask or share with council. And yeah, thanks again.
We really do mean that. Please do be in prayer. And let's do that now. Lord, our journey has been one in which we have tried our best both to hold everything with open hands and to seek the leading of your Holy Spirit. So Lord, would you guide us in doing that now, and would you lead us in a way that we honor you with what you have given us, and honor you with the opportunities in front of us, and honor you by saying, not our will, but yours be done, Lord. Because we want to see everything be a win for you. So we lay down our own agendas to say, your kingdom come, Lord. We want to seek first you and your kingdom, and allow you to add other things to us as you see fit. So Lord, would you guide your people? Would you guide us in prayer? Would you guide us in discernment? Would you speak to us as you promised? As you have led us many times, would you grant dreams? Would you grant visions? Would you back them up with scripture? Would you guide us to a point where we say it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us? Your will be done. In the Dream Center, in Hope Mission, Unity Baptist, and Red Deer, as it is in heaven. And we love you more than our plans. So Lord, would you have your way among us? Lord, would you provide for the Dream Center? You are rich. And you have given a measure of your riches to your people. So Lord, would you make us good stewards and people who use what you have entrusted to us in ways that align with your kingdom, that see your kingdom built, that see your kingdom supported. Would you make sure that the good kingdom work continues to happen here at the Dream Center? Would you provide for their needs and more? Because you are a God who is not only rich, but who is generous. Lord, be generous to the Dream Center these days. In Jesus' name. The slide with the scripture verses for me, please, Everett. Through the summertime, I'd like us to pray into these two verses. Last summer, we memorized a different verse every week. This summer, yes, please take out your phones and take a picture of these two. We're gonna pray into these two verses in particular this coming summer. So I would encourage you to memorize them. I would encourage you to pray into them. You will find that the more that you memorize something, the more that it comes out in your prayers. You will find that the more that it comes out in your prayers, it comes out in your conversations. And it comes out in the decisions that you make. It'll reframe the way that we think about our kingdom versus God's kingdom. It'll reframe the way that we think about what's a win. So this is my prayer for us, that this summer we would learn to delight ourselves in God. I know there's a lot to delight in, especially in the summertime. What if we learn to find that there are deep wells of delight in the Holy Spirit for those this summer. Let's do that. And as you do that, would you pray, Lord, will you, I encourage you to go to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, the beginning of it is a prayer where the psalmist says, at one point, Lord, in our history, you put away all of your anger towards us and you forgave us and you showed us mercy and you acted on our behalf. We experienced that at one time in our history and we're not currently experiencing it now. Would you not revive us again that your people may delight in you? And you see these verses go together. Lord, there's something that we want you to do so that we would delight in you more. And when we delight in you more, we will praise you and rejoice in you. And then we will learn to delight ourselves. Pray into these this summer. Let's do something we do regularly. But Kate, would you come on up, please? Would you welcome Kate? Welcome Kate back. Kate went to Africa. As many of you will know, Kate went to Africa on a mission trip with Youth with a Mission and just came back last Sunday. And I said, Kate, I've only got one Sunday here and I want to hear what happened. And Kate said, I've only got one Sunday here and I would like to share what happened. And so we chatted very, very briefly this week, but this is kind of unscripted. But Kate, thank you for coming to share, and would you just walk us through, you know, what did you do and how did you see God at work?
Okay. Hi, everybody. So I'll just kind of give you like the overview, like the big picture kind of what we did. A little background on the school. So the school is called Frontlines. It's a second year school at YWAM in Kona. And it was started, it came out of a ministry called Revival and Reformation, where it was created for people who wanted to go more into like the spheres, so like business, economics, education, family, like kind of more those things, and how to see like revival and change in like wherever God's called you. But then this school was created this year more focused on injustice in our world. And so, kind of, so like YWAM is like very much like youth movement, like preach the gospel, evangelize, like to everything under the sun, basically, which is like so incredible. And that's like perfect. We need that. But then there's like what I learned the second half, where like that revival and like that heart awakening needs to land in like real change. Like it needs to land in like reform in our societies and governments and laws and things. And so that's kind of what this school is about, like how to have a biblical worldview in like all these different areas so that we can take this like what God's done in my heart, your heart, like all of our hearts, but then like land it in something, if that makes sense. And so, just because like the heart of God is very much like he wants everyone to know about him and come to be saved, but then he also cares that like every mouth is fed and like mothers and fathers are together and that slaves are set free, you know? And so that's kind of like what the school is about. So we had, it was like a pretty small group. We had three different teams come out of the school. So one team went to the States for like a pro-life thing. They were like talking to government people. I don't really even know what they did. But then one team went to the Philippines for anti-trafficking. And then my team was more focused on like family restoration is what we called it. And so, yeah, we ended up in South Africa. And what we were kind of doing there was we just really wanted to like learn from ministries that are already set in place and like what they're actually doing to see change in South Africa. Because South Africa is crazy. Like, there's like no laws there and there's corruption in like every area and the crime and the racial injustice is like so just wild. There's a lot of brokenness and injustice against people. So anyways, we went there just to like learn and see what people are doing about these problems. And so we spent a lot of time at children's homes. So children, I think it's like in the one city, it's like 8 babies a day are abandoned by their parents. And so there's just like so many kids, like too many to like do anything with. And so we just learned from a lot of children's homes and we're just kind of like welcomed in as their family. Like we just got to live there and see how they do things. And then there was a month where we spent like every day on the streets of Johannesburg. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's like the capital city or whatever. But it kind of felt like Noah's like Sunday night in Red Deer, but just like 100 times more men like everywhere. And so it's kind of cool. I was like, oh, this kind of feels like home, but I was like, not really. it was crazy. So we would just go and it was like, yeah, just the most men like just lined up on the streets, pretty much just addicted to drugs. And what's so unfortunate about it is that like, because it's the poverty is what keeps them there, but also there's like just gross things happening like behind the scenes that you wouldn't see, where like people, these people are just giving these men drugs for free to keep them on the streets to cover up like what they're doing in the shops basically. And so it just feels so unfair that these men are stuck in it. And we just sat most days for hours just like listening to them and their stories, just praying for them, hanging out with them. Our outreach was very, very, very relational, and so it just kind of feels like every day I was like making, yeah, so that was kind of what that looked like a lot. And then we moved on to this next location where we worked with this ministry called Woven, and they work that stand on street corners kind of as their only way to make money. And so, yeah, we would, it was very cool, this ministry. Like, part of it, we'd go out, like, in the evenings, and these women would be out there in, like, the cold, just, like, waiting for someone to come pick them up. And we would just get to go, like, hang out and be their friend and talk to them. And then what this ministry also does is they've actually walked with these women, some of them, like out of this job and into new jobs. And so we would get to like go to Bible study and like see their lives literally being changed by just like meeting God in the Word every week. And then even when we were there, one woman, she literally was able to get a whole new job. And, like, her life was completely changed. And it was so cool to see, like, yeah, this is horrible. And it's, like, just not fair. And it's happening to so many women. But then God's actually, like, doing something. And he's using this ministry to, like, redeem their lives. So it was really cool to be a part of it. And then there was one weekend we got to go to camp with these women. So we were, like, we were just taken to a farm with them, like, in the middle of nowhere. And they were, like, my neighbors, like, in bunk beds, and it was just the wildest weekend of my life. Like, it was really, really, really crazy. Yeah, I'm not gonna go into that very much. If you want to hear about it, cast me out.
We had to talk about how this was a family service ahead of time, so yeah.
So, yeah, that was really crazy, but it kind of just felt like the whole outreach kind of being focused on, like, family and just connection with people, it just felt so tender. Like, you're just sitting face-to-face with, like, just crazy suffering and injustice, and you're just looking them in the eyes every day, and they're just these people that the rest of the world would have forgotten about, but for some reason, God had you right in front of them that day, and yeah, just really learning that it's like when you look at it big picture, it's like there's nothing I can really do about this. But then just learning to be faithful with, like, the one person God puts in front of you, and then just seeing how he, like, moves through that is so cool. And so, yeah, it was really, really crazy. It feels like, in just, like, learning how to stop for the one person, I feel like I just really, like, touched a part of God's heart that I didn't even know fully was there. And so, yeah, it was really cool. It felt like I was just, like, tucked away in this secret little place for a while, which was really awesome. So that's kind of, like, the big picture, like, what we did.
Tell us about the ones. Okay. The ones that you interacted with, where you saw God at work.
Okay. So, the first story that comes to mind is when we were downtown Johannesburg, and there's just, like, men everywhere, and I sat down on the curb, and usually you're not supposed to, like, as a woman, you're not really supposed to, like, talk to a man alone, but I just ended up talking to this man alone, and it was just, yeah, it was really cool. His name is Michael, and he was, like, telling me about his life, and I was just asking him these questions, and he was just really confused, like, why I was there and asking him things. But then I remembered that morning, my friend Stephanie had gotten a word in prayer about asking people, like, what their dreams were. So I was like, hey, man, like, what are your dreams? And he was like, well, I want to be a father. I want to have a wife. Like, I want to provide for my family. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. Those are good dreams. Just, like, talking about his life. And then, that week, I'd kind of just been, like, really wrestling with God, like, what's, like, because there's so many times that you're just face-to-face with these people, and it's just the same story over and over, like, they're stuck in this and they can't get out, and I was just like, God, I don't even know what to say in these situations, I just really need you to, like, tell me what to say today. And so I felt like, while I was talking to Michael, his, like, the voice of God was really highlighted to me. And so I said, hey, Michael, like, have you ever heard God's voice? Like, did you know that he can, like, speak to you? And Michael was like, no. Like, he was actually really surprised. And he was, yeah, so I was, like, explaining to him, like, yeah, God can speak to you in so many different ways, but he can also speak, like, right to your mind, like, through your thoughts. And he was just kind of hanging on every word I was saying. And I was like, yeah, can I, like, ask God? And he was like, sure. So we just, like, prayed. And then I was, like, asking God what to tell Michael. And he was like, God said to tell Michael that he's really important and that he's really important to the world. And I was like, hey, Michael, like, God's saying that you're so important. You're so important to the world. And then Michael just starts crying, and he just was, like, sitting there for probably, like, 5 minutes just silently, and I was just waiting. And then he was like, that's really crazy. He says every day he wakes up and just feels, like, super, like, not valuable because he doesn't add anything to the world. And so it was really cool to see the way that God just, like, met him, and he realizes that, like, God actually wants to speak to him and meet him. And so, yeah, something kind of, like, lit up inside of him. And then Michael, like, stood up, and he was like, okay, I think I'm going to go, like, practice talking to God. And I was like, yeah, bro, you do that. And so he, like, gets up, starts walking away, and then he stops, turns around, and comes back and says, but what should I ask God? And I was like, I don't know, like, ask him what he thinks of you. And he was like, okay. And so then Michael walks into the park, and I see him, like, sit down on the bench, and he's just, like, sitting like this, like, talking out loud. And I was like, that's so cool. Like, man just, like, learned how to talk to God and hear from God. And I feel like that just, like, changed his whole walk with God. So that was really cool. Another time we were in, like, this, like, squatter camp, just, like, a temporary situation where people live. And I met this one woman, and it was, like, a Tuesday morning, and we were, like, worshiping on the streets, and she comes out, and she's, like, had just been obviously drinking, so she wasn't really there, and she was like worshiping with us, and then she ended up inviting us up into her home, and then she was a believer, so we just had this really cool moment where like she like asked us all to get on our knees, and we like were praying together, praying for her, and just over her house, and by the end of the time, she had totally sobered up, and we were like having a conversation. And while this was happening, my friend Caden was downstairs, like down the street, and he was talking to this other man who was a Muslim, and he ended up giving his life to the Lord, which was so cool. And then next week, we find out that the woman in the house and the man on the street are married, and it's like, whoa, like God totally just restored their whole family. Like, that's so cool. So, yeah, it was really cool to see. And then, yeah, maybe the last story I want to share was we met this guy from Edmonton, and he was like, he just goes to the hospital like every day to pray for people, and he's like, you guys should come with us. So we go with him, and then I'm with me and my friend Caden. I was just kind of like watching, but Caden's like, we meet this man, and he's on his hospital bed, and his leg had just been broken, like totally smashed up by this like gang. And then we're like, it was just crazy. And then he was like, when I get out of jail, like, or no, when I get out of the hospital, I'm going to go murder these men that broke my leg. And we were just like, okay. So my friend Caden was just talking to him about like God, like preach the gospel, explain like forgiveness, like vengeance is like God's to get, not like his. And so he kind of just had this realization of like Jesus and just forgiveness. And he ended up praying this prayer where he forgave the people that broke his leg. And then he gave his life to Jesus that same day. And then after we prayed for his leg to be healed, and he said that all the pain went away. And it was a really cool moment. It kind of just blew my mind. But, yeah.
Those are awesome stories. What I love about your stories is how you were trained in something, and then you went to put it into practice, and then you saw the results of putting it into practice. I mean, I think even about the first one and how you not only put it into practice, but you taught someone else to put it into practice, too. Mm. So it's like you've been discipled in order to go disciple other people to and then to allow a space for God to be at work in that. Those are awesome. Thank you for sharing. Now, so you said that was the last story that you wanted to share, but I had asked Kate ahead of time, is there something from this trip that you feel like is a message that unity itself? And so I don't even know what it is. I just told her, think about this, pray about it. And she said, yeah, I think I've got something. So we would love to hear what it is you think God's been saying to you for us.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like what God was really teaching me on outreach was just how to... yeah, just how to lay yourself down for other people. And I just feel like when I was praying about it, I feel like what God was saying is that, like, as we go through our days, as we go through years, our hearts should only, and I know, like, I'm only 19, so I don't have, like, the most authority, but, like, as you go through, like, trials and suffering, like as you see like crazy injustice, as you see things happen to your family and friends, like it shouldn't, your heart shouldn't be getting callous, but it should only be getting bigger. And like as we go on this journey with God, like as our church steps into new seasons, like it's almost like it's almost like when you're like at the end of your life, you're like 95. I feel like God's saying like your heart should be like blowing up out of your body. Like that's how big it should be. And so Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Kate, you have no idea how well what you have shared continues on in what I will share next and what's coming. So, like, God set this up, and your word for us is perfect. Mm. Thank you so much. We didn't set any of this up. God did very much. So thank you so much for sharing that. That it resonates. Mm. And you did an awesome job. Thank you for setting an example for us of stepping out in discipleship that means risk, but in order to share God's love with the people that he is tender heart, the least of these. Well done. Would you thank Kate? Could you put up the slide for me, please? I passed this bumper sticker on the way to take my kids to the park a couple of days ago. A skeleton waving, saying, "Have the day that you deserve," which might be a blessing to some, but it's probably intended to be something else, given that it's a bumper sticker. And I thought about it, have the day that I deserve. If I had the day I deserved, I'd be dead. Right? We sang this in one of our opening songs. It's a reference to Romans 3, I believe, right? The wages of sin is. So if you had the day you deserved, you wouldn't be here. If I had the day that I deserved, I would not be here. It's that simple. You and I depend day after day after day on God's ongoing dependence, or we are dependent on God's ongoing grace, his favor, his kindness, his patience, his mercy, his love, his goodness towards us. We are not getting what we deserve. Thank God for that. I wouldn't be here. I really wouldn't. We've been talking about just relational basics over the last number of weeks. Relational basics with God. And the last one, at least for now, is that I am dependent on God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness and God's patience and God's kindness and God's goodness. I'm not earning this relationship with God. I'm not earning God's love. I couldn't possibly. Everything that we have is a gift. And I'm quoting one of the most famous portions of the Psalms. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. I'm not getting the day I deserve. Thank goodness. He does not repay us according to our sins. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love. We just heard Kate talk about for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions for us. Kate just talked about family restoration as being central to God's heart. Here it is, friends. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that I depend on God's ongoing and grace and mercy and compassion. Do you think of God as someone who's always angry? This psalm would say no. If you do, you have a wrong view of God. It says he will not always accuse. So if you constantly hear accusations of how you aren't measuring up, of how you're actually a failure, of how you can't do anything right, he will not always accuse. God does correct because we need correction. But he's not endlessly correcting and nitpicking over every single thing. That is not God. That's someone else. Do you think he's always angry towards you? God does have anger, and it is described as fire. But you know what? Scripture says his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. So God's anger is like a barbecue lighter. I find barbecue lighters are really hard to light. You got to push this thing down, then you got to pull this thing. It often doesn't work, right? They're frustrating. And then they go out really quickly. But that's like God's anger. It's hard to start, and it's gone quickly. He does have it. It's there for a purpose. But he is not always raging in burning anger at you. Not by a long shot. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a life. But instead of preaching this message, I want to give you, there's something about testimony that is so powerful. And this is a true story. This is a story, a man on the who will be on the screen in just a minute. You can find the story on YouTube. Just look up Isaac Brown's story. In Isaac Brown's story, Isaac, he goes by Ike. He's a retired police officer. And he's telling his story about how his son, who was 20 years old, was horrendously murdered, unprovoked. And Ike shares the story of walking through this. Now, he's now an old man. This happened when he was probably middle-aged, having a son in his 20s. But he's reflecting on what he went through following the murder of his son. And then 3 years after the murder of his son, the trial begins for the man who murdered his son. The man who murdered his son, his name is Tokoya. So this is going to be a picture where Ike is going to tell his story. Ike Sr. is telling his story about Ike Jr. being murdered by Tokoya. The days we deserve. Tokoya Kreiner didn't get that. He got something better. That's the gospel. The dad in that video is not a better person, a better dad than our Heavenly Father. That's a picture. We murdered our Lord's son. And what God did is adopt us into his family. Just like this. You and I live in this ongoing relationship of dependence on God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness and his kindness and his generosity towards those who murdered his son. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the God we serve. So as we reflect on our relationship with God, may we pause even now and reflect on, thank you for a story in which we have seen your gospel for us. You did that exact thing. We're in this relationship with our Heavenly Father as an adopted daughter, as an adopted son. And we don't deserve it, but it's out of your kindness and your love and your generosity towards us that you would do this kind of thing, that you do this thing for the people that you know here by name. And Lord, I pray that if there are people here who don't yet know you and know that have not yet entered into this relationship of saying, like Tokoya did, if you will have me, I'm all in, I'm yours. You guide us to make sure that, because Lord, we got nowhere else to go than ever this morning. Thank you that you are a God who does not treat us as our sins deserve. Lord, save us from the stories that we tell ourselves where we tell ourselves you're not as good as the dad we just saw on the screen. Thank you that the dad that we just saw on the screen said that it was because of you, the love that you gave him. Thank you for pictures that show us you, Lord, that your mercies are new, would walk in gratitude of and the generosity of a father who loves us in ways we can't even understand, but will still say yes to. We love you, Lord. Amen. Would you stand, please? We're going to respond. An eraser. God has an eraser. And that eraser erases the debt. Your history, your past, the false identity that you have carried around. And God has a new identity to put in its place. One that says that you are a child of God. adopted by God. And if you don't yet know that you are adopted by God, today is the day for you, man. Let's have a conversation afterwards. I'd love to pray with you and talk more. But today is the day that we remember his goodness, his kindness, his mercy, and the new identity that he offers us as his children. Would you embrace that this morning? Brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you the peace that comes with your inheritance as his child. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings on your week. I will see you in a couple of weeks. Don't forget about that special offering as well for the Dream Center, and I look forward to seeing you soon.